Full disclosure, I'm not from Region 7. I'm actually from Region 6. I'm in New Hampshire, but I kind of tripped and fell into the rooms. And the first room I was ever in was an online room. And she just happened to be from Region 7. Everyone that went to that room was Region 7. And I totally got sucked into Region 7 and the New Jersey gang. So here I am. I do bounce around the rooms quite a bit. But you might see me in different places here and there. So hope you don't hold that against me. I still here working this beautiful program one day at a time and so thankful that it's around. I have almost a full year of abstinence in the HOW program. I have lost about 83 pounds, I believe, so far, which is so great. It feels amazing to take off. And this is kind of my story of steps 1, 2, and 3. I hope that it helps you take the best, leave the rest, right? So in step one, we admitted we were powerless over food. And I like to make it really personal. I admitted I was powerless over food and that my life had become unmanageable. Now, I took a lot of issue with that because I was like, my life is not unmanageable. And how dare you say that? I was deeply, deeply insulted because I was a single mom. I was newly divorced. And I felt like I was really rocking this. I just had a problem with food. I couldn't stop eating. And I mean, when I couldn't stop eating, I could not stop eating anything. It didn't matter the type of food. I'm not triggered by certain foods. I'm triggered by all foods. I can overeat and binge on coffee, anything at all. So step one really ticked me off because I was like, okay, I admit I'm powerless over food. So a little bit down the line, I kind of just said, I struggled for the first 2 months in regular OA. I could not find a sponsor. I couldn't get myself together. And I had someone reach out an olive branch to me and say, hey, I know you're struggling. I'm an available sponsor, but I'm in HOW. This is how I do things. It's a food plan. It's this. And I balked. Like, just like the big book says, all over, I balked. But I had a very strong intuitive feeling that this is a Jesus take the wheel moment. This is a moment for me to step away and say, you know what? Go ahead. I will do whatever it takes because I was so sick and tired of being me. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of my body hurting at 38 years old. I shouldn't be in this much pain. And I worried what the rest of my life was going to look like. So I embraced step one-ish. Although step one requires some serious honesty within yourself to say, I have a problem and I need help with it, and I'm admitting this. I am being honest with myself and those around me. The back of my head was, yeah, right. I'm just here for the weight loss. So, you know how we say, came for the vanity, stayed for the sanity? I was just in it for the vanity. And that's all that there was to it. And then, okay, I get a couple weeks into the program. I'm following my food plan. I'm living this. I'm reminded every single day when I'm having my food cravings, when I'm white knuckling it on the table and I'm crying over food of all things, and not the inability to have food available, like which would make sense to cry over, crying over the fact that I couldn't eat foods that other people were eating. And then I started arguing with my sponsor that I was powerful over food. I'm choosing this food. I changed the narrative. I said, I am absolutely choosing to eat this food. So therefore, I am powerful over it. So here comes my lessons in humility. Because as I'm approaching a year, step one has meant more to me than it ever has before. And here's the deal with the steps. They're not a one and done, especially step one, two, and three. Step one, two, and three is cyclical. It just keeps coming around. So if there's any newbies here that are like, oh, yeah, Step one, tick, tick, I'm done. Step two, tick, tick, I'm done. No, you're not. Learn from my mistakes. You are not. You are just getting started. And it will mean more to you as you go through the program and surrender and let go of your self-will for the will of God. So step two. Sorry, I just want to redo the timer so I don't run over time because I want to leave as much time for discussion as possible. So there was my step one, just arguing back and forth, did not want to let it go, really wanted to hold on to that control. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So I was about a month into the program when this step was introduced to me. I was not out of my addiction, but I was sober and abstinent. And here's the part where things really did start to turn for me. So even more disclosures, I'm a psychic. I work as a psychic. I was born a psychic. I've been a psychic my whole life. So my spiritual connection is pretty solid, right? Yeah, okay. It never once occurred to me that I could have a higher power who was stronger than me when it came to the food. I thought it was all about the feeling of spirit within me, of being connected to humanity and the earth, and really being a total hippie flower child. That's where it kind of began and end for me. So my poor sponsor was like, well, if it can do this, why can't it do that for you? And that got me thinking, and that got me feeling, and that got me surrendering, because it made sense to me. Huh, well, it's true. Spirit, God, universe, source, whatever you want to call it, is a stronger force than me. So maybe there is something to this. So I tried it. When the cravings came up, I asked for them to be taken away, or I asked for some kind of action I could take outside of eating, and it worked. Things would pop into my head of, hey, maybe you should call this person or reach out, or have you done your reach outs today? It really came a lot in the form of reach outs. But I struggled with this step nonetheless. You would think that me of all people would have this great epiphany and I would just fall into the spirituality aspect of the program and the higher power, but I didn't. And if I'm honest, it is something I do still struggle with today, is finding that higher power that is infallible and works for me 100% of the time. I'm at about 95%. That whole 5% is where I start to isolate, and that's where I'm like, oh, hold on a second. If I isolate, I'm going to go right back into the food and be my little hermit, like eating in the corner, anything I can. So for step two, I kind of kept thinking, I will go along with this if it gets me thin, because my life will turn around. I'll feel better about myself and most of my problems will go away. And tandem with that thought and still struggling with the spirituality aspect, I found more higher power energy and feeling in the love of the fellowship than I did with anything else. So the fellowship is where I really, right around step two, my 60 days was where I kind of fell in love with the fellowship. And I watched everyone else's beliefs. I watched how they manifested in their lives. I watched how it worked for them. And I, you know, monkey see, monkey do, kind of fake it till you make it, follow along what they do. And I kept reminding myself, I wanted what my sponsor had. And I was still young in the program. I'm compared to several people, I am still young in the program. I just didn't want to go back to how I felt before, getting up every single day, starving myself because of the binge the night before, and spending the whole day on the couch while my kids begged for my attention because I was too in the disease to be a human being, a mom, and an effectual member of our family. So here I am. Step two was a really big turning point for me and an epiphany. And step two brings to us the hope of the program, where step one is honesty, because once we're honest, we can clear away all the cobwebs, and then we can shine the light of hope that we do have some way of feeling better about ourselves. We have some way of getting through this and finding the light on the other side, that, you know, maybe there is something to this program that from the face value could easily be mistaken for a cult. But I'll tell you, this is the best cult I've ever been in, because I've never felt this good about myself. So if OA is really a cult, as some whiners like to say, and I shouldn't say that because that was rude and judgmental, and we don't do that, but I'm a human being still learning to be a better human being. And it's, I can say from the honesty of step one and the hope of step two, I believe I can truly get there. So that's more or less my experience with step two. But again, step two comes up for me, not as much as step one does, but it does come up quite a bit for me to remember that it's, I'm still developing my spiritual strength. I'm still developing my higher power, and I'm still noticing the miraculous ways it does do for me what I could never do for myself. Once I started paying attention to that, I was able to move into step three. And this is kind of between my days 60 and 90. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood her. No, I know it says him in the big book. I go with her, do what works for you. But I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of spirit, my higher power, the universe, source, God, as I understood him, her, it, they. None of that mattered to me anymore. All it mattered was this feeling I had that I didn't need to do it all. And there's that story into action in the big book that talks about the person who's putting on a play, and no one is good enough for the play. So they start to be all the actors, and they start to be the director and the producer, and they're trying to do everything all at once. And that was me in my life. And this is where I really started to see it, was I was such a control freak. And okay, so gonna swear here. I was the biggest controlling, jealous bitch that ever walked the face of the planet. And yes, I mean that with all the drama behind it, because we're addicts, you know, like they say about addicts, regular people get a paper cut and they're getting a Band-Aid. Addicts get a paper cut and they're going to the ER. Right here. I definitely fit into that one. But I feel like that adds to the quirk of me. As long as I'm not eating over those feelings, we're good. This is your action step, though. Step three is one of my absolute favorites, because it was taking all this energy that was building up and feeling and all these awarenesses, and I was using it. I was using the big book's guidance of, we are loving, we are kind, we are compassionate, we are tolerant, but we take no shit. Oh, sorry, I should have warned you, another one was coming. This is your warning, there may be more. There we go. And I apologize if it offends anyone. And this is where I really started to say, so there might be something to this whole program, and I think I'm going to stick around. And it wasn't just the weight. It wasn't just that I was fitting into better clothes, that I didn't, like this last few months was the first time I didn't have to go to a specialty store for my clothing. And that was a huge thing for me. But this was the turning point for me. Step three was really where I totally turned and faced the mirror and said, what do you want for your life? Do you want to keep living in your disease? You see this. You see what this is about. Do you want to keep eating food out of the trash? Do you want to keep watching food fall off of a plate with horror, and it's like a slow motion horror movie of like, no, trying to catch the food before it hits the floor? Because again, I have multiple pets here and kids. We're a mess. We're a family of five plus however many pets there are here now. I don't even know anymore. There, once that food hits the floor, there's hair and particles and dirt all over it. And I would spend 20 minutes picking it off and then eat it. Do I really want to live like that? And trust me, you never get all the particles off the food once it hits the floor. You're still going to chew on grit. You're still going to pull hairs out of your mouth. It's disgusting. But that was life for me prior to step one, prior to OA. I don't ever want to go back there. I want to remember what it feels like. So step three puts me in that action step of, I have an action plan. I have choices. I have a plan of attack for my day. I have a plan of attack for my food. And again, I'm in how. So I submit my food every night for the day before. I do my writings to try to remind myself of what I was like in the disease. I study the big book with my sponsor. I work on my 10th step. I work the hell out of my program so that I'm not living in the hell of the disease. And it's funny because one of my sponsors said recently, OA has stopped her, the food plan has stopped her from committing suicide. OA has stopped her from committing homicide. And I was like, oh, I feel that one pretty deeply because, again, I'm almost through my steps and I'm looping right back around. I'm not even fully through step 12 yet. And I'm already looping back around almost on a daily basis as my year comes up, as the holidays are coming and as my nerves were growing for this. I am powerless over food and I admit that. My life is unmanageable when I'm in the disease. I have come to believe and develop a power that is stronger than me that can help me through this disease. And I have made a decision to take my hands off of the wheel, to surrender and to give in and relent to this program. I have made that choice. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where on paper, as you're looking at it, you think, okay, yeah, I can do this. It's just 12 steps. It's just a program. But as the big book says, it is a simple program, but it's not easy. It's not easy. I would be completely remiss to say that there are days where I don't hate being here. There are days I am a whiny, snot-nosed boogerhead. I do not want to be here. I resent being here. I have done countless 10 steps on the fact that I am an addict, that I can't control myself against food, around food, that I have to keep going over steps 1, 2, 3 and hold them very dear to me, and that I don't want to be in these rooms. No one chooses to be here, really, because if you did, you wouldn't be an addict. I need to be here, though. And I'm thankful that this is the option I get. I'm so thankful that this is what I have, that this is the option, because I've met some amazingly spectacular, wonderful people. I have been able to let go of the control issues and the total psychopathic behavior. I have absolutely been able to turn my life around and be a better person. And that's what those first three steps have really given me.